The Lord will give strength to his people. Bring to the Lord, all you sons of God. Bring to the Lord honor and glory.
Wisdom.
The reading is from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians.
Let us be attentive.
Brethren, working together with him then, we entreat you not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I have listened to you and helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watching, hunger, by purity, knowledge, forbearance, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything.
Peace be to you, the reader. Wisdom, arise, let us hear the Holy Gospel. Peace be with you all.
With your spirit.
The reading is Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Let us be attentive.
The Lord said, the eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not sound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O man of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well.
Glory to you, O Lord. Glory to you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This past week, I was visiting with somebody up at our church camp, in fact, and I heard an incredible thing. Well, first, there was, let's say, a commercial greenhouse, and it had a very novel and new idea not too long ago, and that was to kind of set up this ideal, an absolute kind of perfect environment for the greenery that it was raising, the plants, the flowers, the trees, and what have you. And so it came up with what they thought, the absolute, you know, perfect soil conditions, the right balance of nutrients, an absolutely, scientifically, let's say, you know, perfect and ideal growing conditions. In addition, they had sunny days, you know, this pseudo environment, always a certain temperature, climate controlled, again, absolutely ideal. The water was just right. Everything was going great. And at the beginning, these things were growing up and they looked like phenomenal, beautiful, lush. And they marketed it and, you know, great sales, right? Exploded. They marketed how they had set up this perfect environment for this greenhouse and growing up their goods. People ordered them from all over the place. Well, surprise, surprise, after not too long, the phone started ringing off the hook with complaints. They said, the color is going away from my flowers like quickly. My plants are wilting. The trees are not doing very well, and on and on and on. And so they started to think, what's going on here? Why aren't these things thriving and doing perfectly as we really thought they would? Well, they gave it another thought. They said, well, what does nature provide that we have not? So they brought everything back and they started afresh. And they said, well, real conditions are that these things need to go through a little bit of a challenge. They need to be kind of distressed. So what did they do? They started not giving as much water at times. They kind of created drought periods for the greenery, for the plants and for the trees. They started having, I don't want to say hurricane-like conditions, but winds blowing and things like that in stormy conditions and cloudy days. And the soil was not always that great, but deprived of certain nutrients. And lo and behold, what happened? When you took these trees and plants and brought them out and people started buying them again into their homes and planting them and growing them, they grew, they were beautiful, and they thrived. They needed to go through some sort of ordeal to gain strength, to become well and healthy. And in a similar fashion, there was a rather strange experiment in the 90s down in Oracle, Arizona, something called Biosphere 2, where they tried the same thing. They set up a very fake environment, but what they thought was ideal and perfect to see how, like, humans, animals, and especially trees would live. Well, after a while, in these perfect and ideal conditions, the trees, as they started to grow, started to fall over one after the other after the other. They too discovered what? These trees needed resistance. They needed wind, because when that wind came at them, the roots grew deep, deeper and deeper. And when these trees were not given the water that they needed all the time, it gave them strength. So what we discover here, brothers and sisters, is that the distress, such as the winds and the droughts, they actually strengthened these plants and these trees. They caused them to grow deep roots, to develop strong, resilient bark in order to thrive. Well, this past week at summer camp, we just got back yesterday. It was such a beautiful time to be with everybody. We gave out t-shirts with the theme of the week. And I don't know if you can see from where you are, but what does it say? But be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, from Ephesians chapter 6. And how does one become strong in the Lord? Well, on the one hand, we certainly can take our clues from the creation, from nature, from what God has given us to learn. We noticed that we need to go, just like the trees and the plants, through hardships, through ordeals, through resistance, through spiritual times of drought, we might say, and when the heavy gales are blowing against us with temptations and whatever challenges life might bring. Because without those challenges, sorrows, and troubles, and the grace of God together with that, how will we ever grow the deep roots of our faith? How will we grow the thick bark, the thick skin, the spiritual resilience that the Holy Spirit gives to us? We need both voluntary and involuntary hardships. We know the spiritual disciplines of the church. These are the ones that we can voluntarily take on, right? Long nights of prayer, tears for our anxious anxieties, pouring them before the Lord, the fasts of the church, and all the many spiritual disciplines that we need to put ourselves through physically and spiritually and prayerfully. That's how we really gain strength, grow those deep roots in the church and Christ as that foundation. And of course, many other things come to us in life, and we know this. And if we accept them and receive them as from our Lord, who knows best for us, once again, take the clue from those trees. If they don't have those strong winds against them, they will fall down eventually. We need these things to come to us, and we receive them in gratitude and in faith, and we spiritually become strong in the Lord more and more over time. And the stronger we get, the more distressing things the Lord will allow to come into our life to make us stronger yet. We don't have to look too far to the saints to see what they went through and how spiritually strong they became, and indeed holy, and they grew. Listen to the epistle reading once again, just from this morning, as St. Paul tells us what he went through in 2 Corinthians. In brief summary, he said this: through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, sleepless vigils, and hunger, we are treated as impostors, and yet we are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, but behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. This last line says it all. In spite of all his trials and sufferings, he possesses everything. That is to say, of course, because he possesses Christ. And it is through such tribulations and stressors, like a great tree that has endured the winds and the droughts, that Paul becomes the great apostle rooted in Christ, sanctified and strong in the Lord. As St. Paul says also elsewhere in Romans, we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Similarly, St. James wrote the following, "Consider it pure joy, my brethren, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance leads to maturity and perfection in God." So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, be strong in the Lord and become stronger and stronger through His grace and with His grace when the trials and temptations of life come upon us. With the Holy Spirit's aid, may the roots of your faith grow deeper and deeper. And through prayerful perseverance, may your godly character develop unto full maturity, to holiness, and to sainthood, to that high and eternal calling of Christian perfection. To our God be the glory, now and ever, to the ages of ages. Amen.